Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the daily rant and radio show. We talk about all of the good, bad, and the ugly of current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley. You, our listeners, are invited to call in and stand on our soapbox with us. Call 347-989-0126 between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. That's 347-989-0126. Now, here are your host and creator, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley.
Well, thank you, Katie. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox, everyone, on Monday through Friday call-in radio show, where we talk about the day in news, politics, pop culture. I'm your host, Scott Fullerton. In just a couple of seconds, my amazing co-host, actor and writer Craig Hurley, will be standing on my soapbox right here beside me. It's Thursday, March 14th, 2019. You guys have a chance today and tomorrow to call in and win your very own digital download copy of Altered State of the Union, Craig's omnipresent graphic novel about the times we are living in, boys and girls. You don't want to miss this. Give us a call, 347-989-0126. We'd like to hear from you next hour, see what's your mind, what's on your mind. Mr. Craig Hurley, how the heck are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I am so good. It is 2 hours ago. We hit 74 degrees in Northeast Ohio.
Nice.
I could not stay inside, so I jumped in the car. And I am, believe it or not, in West Virginia on the banks of the Ohio River, overlooking the state of Ohio right now.
Wow. Very cool.
It's kind of fun. How's everything in Chicago?
Yeah, that's going to change coming up here. We're probably going to get into the 30s and into the 20s tomorrow, so or tonight.
Oh, yeah. Forecast is 36 here by Saturday, so yeah.
Nice.
I'm enjoying today. That's why I left the house. I need to enjoy the day. I need to be out and about.
Yeah, we've gotten a whole bunch of, we've got some really heavy winds right now, actually. And we're looking at tornado watches, and there was a funnel cloud, and I'm not sure if there was actually a tornado touchdown in like Morris, Illinois, or just north of that. So this storm has spawned up a nice weather event for us.
The cyclone is upon you. Good.
Cyclone, bomb cyclone. These guys are idiots. It's a hurricane.
They had,
pretty easy.
1,100 motorists were stranded in Colorado's El Paso County. As many as 70 more million people are expected to face some type of severe weather in the next couple of days, from blizzard conditions to heavy rain and flooding through Friday. So, yeah, it's not over, whatever it is. Whatever you want to call it, it's not over.
Yeah. No, it's a terracane. T-E-R-R-A, cane. Terracane. Terra, as in earth. I've been trying to, you know, bomb cyclone. I still don't get it, man. But we need to watch what's going on over on other parts of the world, like Madagascar. They just got pummeled by a severe cyclone, and then I can't think of who's getting hit right now, but all of these events are actually happening all over the world. It's not just us. Right now Germany is receiving an immense amount of snow, and they're receiving an immense amount of from the storm system that we had last week. So these storm systems seem to be building up around Greenland, and then building up around, if you look at any of the maps, building up around Alaska. So, and they happen on almost a daily basis. They're changing and forming up really quickly, and then moving very, very fast. The storm systems that we're experiencing right here in Illinois, they're blowing through here at 60 miles an hour. They're cruising through here. So we really have to pay attention to that. Those are the changes that we're going to be seeing in our weather, present day and future. Things will just get stronger. The weather events will become more significant, And like I just said, they're happening all over the world. We're just to us right now. So it'd be good for, you know, people, if you're looking at maps, you know, just blow up those maps, those weather maps, and you can see cloud cover and you can see the way the storms are actually forming up and how quickly they're moving. So
yeah, it's funny. I try to get my news from all sorts of sources, so I listen to everything. So on the drive up today to West Virginia, I had on a local AM radio, and Rush Limbaugh's on for a couple hours. So I'll listen to it to get my blood boiling, to listen to what he has to say. And they had a poor lady call in who was so mad at her Catholic church because the Catholic church is starting to believe in climate change that she's thinking of leaving the church over it. Like, oh, you poor soul. Bless your heart.
She should have left the church a while ago when they were accusing priests of pedophilia. That's when you leave the church, you know, when the people
believe over climate change, what do they call
climate
that?
Change
land jumping the shark? Is that jumping the shark or
climate change belief? It's just a belief in science, which is based on fact, unlike Catholicism, which is not based on anything.
it was interesting. I heard the poor lady. It's like, oh my goodness, if you're leaving the church over that, you have a whole lot of other issues that have nothing to do with climate change.
She may want to leave the Republican Party as well, because we've got a bunch of people that are now defecting. They are looking at idiot in chief as an idiot. So they are now defecting. They're going over to, I don't know if they're going to the Democratic Party. I don't know what they're doing, but they are not agreeing with what's happening. So they're not agreeing
with his
actions.
Right. The vote today on the resolution to withdraw the emergency that we are on day 26 of, boys and girls, day 26. Have you marked yourself safe?
Oh, have you made yourself safe? Has the listening audience made themselves safe today? We are in day 26 of the national emergency. Are we really in we're not under a national emergency.
Well, the resolution that the House passed 2 weeks ago and what was passed with a vote of 51 to 41, and there's only 47 Democratic senators. So they had...
So there's some of the defection that I'm talking about.
59 to 41.
Right.
So 12 GOP senators condemned this emergency, quote-unquote.
Yep.
Emergency. So it's taking its time. I don't think they'll ever switch parties, because one of the things that happened in this blue wave we had in 2018 was the blue wave took out primarily the moderates and left just the Tea Party and the hard right wingers left. So they're not going to change over, but they do have to protect themselves a little bit and just use some common sense. So you'll see a little bit of these deflections. I don't think it's going to go full-hearted, but another vote.
No,
today,
and actually the United States doesn't, we the people, we don't need all of them to, you know,
right,
come over to thinking logically. We only need some of them to come over and think logically. That's all it is.
And they did pass today in the House unanimously, every Democrat, every Republican, to see the entire Mueller report open to the public and to them in the House. Went along with that. Well, 100% of every House member voted to make sure the report is released no matter which way it goes. So that was an impressive
good
vote today as well. So
yeah,
a couple
good
of votes today. I think you're right. I think they are starting to see that, hey, you can only go party line so much. You got to do what's right for the country a little bit here. And I think people are starting to do that.
A little bit. That's why we elected all of these people in the first place, was to do something for the country, not to do something for themselves. They're already getting enough.
Joe throwing his hat in the ring today.
I thought he was going to do that anyway. It's great. I think he's, you know, trying to at least set an example to be a representation of the people. So yeah, I think it's good. I've said this before though, man. I think that it's, you know, the person's already picked And it'll be somebody that'll just literally come out of nowhere, like a couple months from now, like 8 months, 9 months from now. So, you know, like the year before that they actually start campaigning. And it's some, you know, somebody that that we don't know. Well, I think it's somebody, that we don't actually know. So it's somebody that hasn't stepped up yet.
I just want
and
an
it's got to be somebody
that's
that
all
can.
I ask for.
Well, just yeah, but I am right. Yeah, show me somebody. Yeah, I've actually been saying that for years. Give me somebody to elect, and you know I'll vote for them. Otherwise, you're just kind of voting for the best of the Hunger Games.
You're voting against, and that's not good for any.
No, that's not good for anyone. No.
Yeah. I'm glad to see Beto jump in. I think he'll, like you said, he'll help stir the pot a bit. I really, really like the idea of these debates. I don't think people are asking people to endorse one of these candidates already. You can't endorse anybody yet. You have to wait for the debates, get the ideas out there, see how they actually perform on stage in front of people together. And don't eat our young, be respectful on the stage. But I can't understand how they can endorse anybody. You're just endorsing a platform or a race or a color or something. That's not a way to vote. You need to wait and actually listen to ideas, listen to debate. And
I'm sorry, I missed part of that. I had a door just fall down in my house. It's okay. You know, we've got there's fences breaking and shit. I mean, there's like 40, 50 mile an hour wind. So I'm expecting the entire house just to implode. I missed part of that. Who's endorsing
what
who?
I was saying was primarily was that they keep asking all these people to endorse, and I'm not into endorsements until after we have at least the first debate. If you're endorsing now, you're endorsing on race, creed, culture, whatever. You're not endorsing on the policies and how they stack up against other candidates face to face. And I think at least see the first debates in June. That'd be the earliest,
right.
I hope to see one. Otherwise, I don't think you're being honest with yourself or your constituents you represent.
Endorsing people? That's stupid. You can't endorse anybody yet. We don't even know. We don't know who's going to actually be the front runners on any of this.
Right. It's the press a lot of asking, but there's some that will go. Most of them will say no. There's a couple going out there, and you just we can't pigeonhole yet. We got to give everyone an open opportunity to say to speak their piece. I do like the way they're running the debates. We talked about it here before. In order to get a seat on the stage, you have to get a seat at the table one of two ways. You have to poll at least 1%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is when it's this big of a race. At least 1% in three consecutive Democratic polls to get on the Democratic debate stage, or you have to have 65,000 unique donors of just $3, doesn't have to be big donors, 65,000 unique donors of $3 or more with at least 200 in 20 of the states, 200 in each of 20 states, doesn't matter what 20 states. I think that's a very fair way to do it, and I like that in order to get on the debate stage. So we'll see what happens.
So they're putting a cap on it? Which, it's about
they're
time.
They're not putting a minimum. So a minimum is, like I said, the minimum is 1%.
Any billionaire can, or millionaire can actually get that minimum.
No, because it's 65,000 unique people. It's not you putting $65,000 in. It's 65,000 unique people contributing, of which you have to have at least 200 in any 20 states. So a millionaire can't
buy. Oh, there's not going to be any fraud. Like, there's not going to be any fraud in that. Yeah, I found 65,000 people that gave me $3, said number 45. I, you know, come on. There's going to be fraud all over that. There's going to be donors already that can give that amount of money. So there's going to be fraud all over that.
Well, I think it will winnow out. So, like I said, that Pete Buttigieg guy that I'm all for was on the CNN debate within 24 hours. Pete Buttigieg. He raised 24 hours.
He's got a complicated name that he does have.
The ghost of Beetlejuice just showed up in my car. Anyway, he raised, within 24 hours of his debate, he raised 22,000 unique contributors, $600,000. So it is doable by the little people. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, good.
You're right.
Cool.
Can people buy it? Yes. Of course, they can game the system. But does it make it an incentive for the other people? Yeah, and I think it'll help in the long run. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it does make it a little tougher that there's actually some checks and balances in that. That it does make it a little tougher to campaign.
Right. So we'll see what happens as they go through their Iowas and their, you know, they moved up their primary because nobody cared about California before because it was always so late in the season. You kind of had a good idea where you were going from, but California's moved up to like the fifth primary. So it'll be interesting to see where the lion's share of those delegates go. And I'm not sure if they're one of the 20, I think they're one of the 12 that have signed on to the Electoral College Compact. That's going to be interesting to see how that shapes things up. And I do like that they removed the superdelegates this year. I thought the superdelegates was a super stupid idea, personally.
Yeah.
They removed those this year.
Yeah. No, I do think it. I think that the states with the bigger cities are probably going to go and votes go to the popular vote winner. But we really need to concentrate on the bigger states with the less people. Those are the ones that seem to influence our elections when it comes to the Electoral College. So if those states would like to throw those in, that would be, that would be great. So that the popular vote will win instead of the Electoral College. Because I really think that that's where the Russians actually cheated. I think that's where they all cheated, was within the Electoral College. They've got full control. Obviously, with everybody's problems with Facebook yesterday, it's easy to control these social media outlets. It's not that difficult of a thing to do. But I wanted to talk about that as well. I don't know if you've seen the episode.
I was waiting for you to talk about it because there is a little conspiracy going on around it. But give me your thoughts on it.
There's different episodes on the Orville. They do a social media a thing where they go to a planet that is totally controlled by social media, and that the people actually judge people, and they will, if they've committed a crime, or even if they haven't committed a crime, most of the time it's just you basically, this one guy was, or that was on Black Mirror. Black Mirror also did an episode like that too, where it was social media based, and that social media controls the outcome of different judgments. And so people are put to death. People are taken off of social media, period. They're ostracized. All sorts of things happen because of the judgment of society. And that's where I think we've fallen into that, actually. It's Black Mirror. I don't know if you've watched any of those episodes. That show is amazing.
I'll have to put it on my list.
Oh, dude, they take things that are currently happening in our society and in around our world, and it's Black Mirror is what will happen if we let technology get out of control. And it'll happen, according to the producer. He's like, it's what happens 10 minutes from now if we don't pay attention. So it can easily happen in our lives, each episode. And one of them is about a guy who is accused of just something really stupid on social media. And then he gets completely judged and by society. And like, there's no, there's no judges, there's no Supreme Court, there's none
of that. Do they do it as docudrama or as drama, or how is that? What type of series?
Black Mirror. Black Mirror is a drama. And okay. And in the Orville, they just, you know, made it one of the episodes. They made it one of the planets that they visited. And it's really interesting that I think that, you know, a lot of people are looking at Facebook as their news source when it's manipulated constantly. And everybody was affected yesterday by their Facebook. And I mean, nobody was able to communicate over it. And it's something that can be so easily manipulated and so easily broken. So, you know, that's, and to get back to the, you know, the Russians cheating during that, that's what all the bots are about. Guys, Russia has been trying to destroy democracy, forever. Since for 200 years, easy. The czars 200 years ago were trying to destroy democracy, and it's not just been Russia that influenced elections in the past. Every single one of our presidential elections has been influenced in some way or another by a foreign power. It is up to us, we the people, to differentiate and to really look at those people and look at those entities. And go, oh, yeah, they are trying to interfere. Let's make the correct choice. This last time,
exactly.
I think we didn't have the opportunity to make the correct choice. There was a lot of cheating going on. So, and they're getting nailed for it. It's not like they're not getting nailed for cheating. They are getting nailed for this. So all the people around him, his campaign managers in jail. So come on. You know, that is what's happening. And we just have to be aware of it.
Right. More on the Facebook thing. I've just found it really both funny and interesting. It's gone from some really great funny memes from Instagram where, the influence didn't influence for 3.5 hours. What will these product sponsors do? To that it happened to fall. I read, and I didn't know this until I read a couple sources to make sure it was true. Yesterday happened to be the 30th anniversary to the day of when the internet was released to the public. Of course, it was used for government before that, but yesterday was the 30-year anniversary of the first public use of the internet. And all the way to the conspiracy theories where the government is now investigating, so the government took control for 3 hours to download everything, and that's why it was down for 3 to 4 hours.
They may have.
So
yeah. No, they are investigating. And they should have been investigating a while ago.
Well,
it's absolutely possible.
Elizabeth Warren's got a lot of flack for saying break up these monopolies. But when you have Facebook that owns Instagram, that owns WhatsApp, that owns this, that owns that, that is really a monopoly on free speech and on the manipulation that could occur within it. So I agree with her 100% on that.
Yeah, too many people are paying attention to Twitter and to Facebook as their news source. It's not a news source. It's just not. It's a bunch of garbage. It's not a news source. You can't get legitimate news out of it. You have to go to a legitimate news source.
Exactly. Now, you can find our promos every Monday through Friday for standing on our
soapbox.
Yeah,
you can.
Pay
you can find
those,
yeah. Well, it's great for advertising, but it's not. Yeah, but it's not. It's not a news source.
It is not a news source. It is a pretty picture of Craig and I's face saying that we're going to talk about the news for an hour looking at various sources. So there you go. Speaking of which, I have an announcement to make, Mr. Craig.
Uh-huh.
Left of Straight Radio, which is me, I have interviewed for the last week some interns to help us out because the station is growing stronger. We have now 3 regular shows on there covering 8 hours of programming a week. I'm adding a 4th show April 10th on Wednesday evenings. So
wow.
I have put out an announcement for interns, and I have about 5 really good candidates for interns. I'm probably going to bring aboard 2 or 3, and that means we're going to be able to open up the chat room on Standing on Our Facebook. We will have an intern on by, so if you're too shy to
standing
call
on our Facebook, it's standing on our soapbox, standing on my soapbox. Hashtag standing on my soapbox.
Thank you.
Hashtag standing on my soapbox. standing on my Facebook. Dude, you're thinking way too much about Facebook. What are you doing? Oh, really? So, okay. Well, standing on my number 45. We were just talking about that. Standing on my tornado. Standing on my bomb cyclone.
There you go. But April 1st, we are going to have the chat room man for Standing on My Soapbox. So if you're too shy to call in, because Craig and I are wondering if you're shy people or just scared of us, you can go on the live Blog Talk Radio website and scroll down
to the
slideshow, and you can ask your questions live in the chat room starting April 1st. So that'll add
another
dimension.
Don't be chicken. Don't be chicken. Call 347-989-0126. Don't be chicken. Chicken.
347-989-0126. We won't bite. It's long distance. We can't reach that far.
Yeah, we don't have holographs yet that can bite you. So, yeah, we're getting there, but we don't have them yet.
We're trying. But I'm excited we're going to be able to man the chat room here pretty soon, so we'll see what happens with that.
Cool. No, that sounds great. And congratulations on expanding.
Well, so we can both. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll
yeah, it's really cool.
Full time talking and not having to worry about looking who's on first and what's on second and taking questions. So that's going to be kind of fun for both of us as well.
Right.
So we can really
call
on my soapbox and really get into the meat of the matters. Speaking of which, what's our next topic? Anything you want to talk about before we go to break here?
I watched Neverland again. I watched Leaving Neverland again. I still do not believe Wade. But like I said, James, I have a tendency to believe more. But I'm an actor, okay? And I pick apart people just on a general basis. And I take their little idiosyncrasies, their flaws, or their good habits, and I apply them to different characters. I've got a real problem with both of their acting abilities. I just keep watching and I'm like, you're lying your ass off. And there's nothing real coming out of it. But like I said, James is a little more believable. But what it really comes down to for me, number one, he's dead. So he cannot defend himself at this point. Number two, you had the opportunity multiple times to turn, and in federal court, no less, you had the opportunity to turn and say, yes, he molested me, and you didn't take it. So not James, but Wade perjured himself in court. And I'm not sure that he doesn't belong in jail right now for doing that, for lying in court for Michael Jackson, you know, saying that he didn't molest, because he did that in 2005. He was in court and saying that he didn't get molested by Michael Jackson. From what I can tell, the third thing is, I, like I said, I'm an actor. Okay. So I do this for a living, and there's not one actor out there that has gotten $750 million for his performance. There are actors like Clooney and like Tom Cruise that, yes, they, but
man,
they're getting
20.
That money.
Those are the 20.
Yeah, you're looking at, well, 20 to 40 million, you know, for just performing. But as a producer, they're making 100 million or 200 million. They're actually making some money. But that's as a producer. That's not as an actor. There isn't an actor on the planet who has gotten $750 million for their performance. And that's what these two guys are asking for. They want $1.5 billion, so $750 million a piece for supposedly being molested by Michael Jackson, who cannot defend himself.
Right. Now,
if they had done this documentary, or if they had come out and just said, look, I got molested, and I just want to make sure that everybody out there that's dealing with this type of situation knows that they can stand up and they can say something. And if they had just done it just from the goodness of protecting other people, then I would be like, okay, that's fine. You know, I would actually believe them both more if they had just done it for free. Instead, they're suing for $750 million apiece. And I don't know who's going to pay for that. Once again, Michael's dead and the estate can't afford that. Even if he made $400 million this year after being dead, I think he beat Prince, by the way. But nobody, who's going to pay that? Paris? Seriously? How about Blanket? Is Blanket going to pay that $1.5 billion for not doing anything but being his son? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. So if they had.
Oops, we lost you for a second. I think that was my button.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
I got muted for some reason. Did you mute me on purpose? Did I say something wrong? Is there something I need to retract?
I tried to mute me on purpose so I can cough, and then all of a sudden I muted you by accident.
Oh, it's okay. You can cough on air, dude. I'm clearing my throat and stuff. I mean, who's going to pay for that? Blanket? You know, who's going to pay for that? Paris? Who's going to pay for that? And if... Like I said, if they had just done it for free and not gone after $1.5 billion, I would believe them more. And actually, their careers would have both taken off. Absolutely. And it's not like Wade's career is bad, according to those. I mean, I know they filmed that shit probably 5 years ago, so he probably doesn't have any dance classes anymore. So, yeah, his career's probably fallen out. But he actually was set up by Michael Jackson, introduced to Britney Spears, introduced to a whole bunch of celebrities and stars that gave him a career. So I'm not exactly sure, because that's all Michael, from what I could tell, was doing the whole time. Yes, he was grooming these kids. He's grooming these kids to be successes in the entertainment business in one way or another. And
right.
Once again, either my friends, the people that I have hung out with that have hung out with Michael Jackson, either they're lying their asses off to me, or he didn't molest them. Okay? It's one or the other. So, and I tend to believe my friends that they didn't get molested by Michael Jackson.
Right.
So, you know, I think I'm kind of done with leaving Neverland. I don't believe them. And if they're going after money, then you can't, because that is the motivation for doing this. You know, if I was going to get paid $750 million for an acting job, dude, I would win friggin' Oscar, bro, for my freaking job on that documentary. You would see the best acting ever from anybody. So
I love it. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm not really passing any judgment yet until I see it. I tend to believe Corey and Macaulay Culkin and stuff right now, just because they have nothing to lose by exposing it now and could actually further their careers by it. So I'm holding judgment. It is the number 3 rated documentary of all time on HBO, and HBO is known for their documentaries. Scientology is number 1, and I forget the number 2 one, but this one is creeping up to be number 2, they think, by the end of the month. So it is getting a lot of airplay, and people are paying attention to it. So I'm looking forward to seeing it when I can. I spend too much on Hulu and Netflix, everything. I can't afford HBO right now, but
I don't like the way the director directed it. He uses a lot of stock footage and from other projects. And and also we never see him. We never see the documentarian. he's always in the background mumbling. And I'm like, can we see you once or twice in this thing? You know, and like I said, it's horribly freaking edited. He's just got stuff thrown in that doesn't make any sense. You know, and like I said, it's stock footage of condos and of Neverland and of city streets in Los Angeles. So,
all right, guys, we're 35 minutes in. I can't believe it's going so fast. We're still waiting for your calls. 347-989-0126. There we go. 347-990-126. Time for us to take a break and try to lure some sponsors in with our cigarette smoking
cool.
and coffee drinking.
Yes, I need to have some Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Dunkin' Donuts. They're in 2-3 minutes, guys. We'll be back.
Marlboro Reds.
I won't justify. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can't write my story. I'm beyond the archetype.
Back. That is Brian Justin Crum and Pentatonics and Friends singing Katy Perry's Rise. I'm going to have Brian Justin Crum actually on my Left and Straight show next Tuesday, immediately following Standing on My Soapbox. So be sure to tune in for that. Fantastic singer. Craig, do we have a chance to take a puff or two?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm back. Like Super. I said, that's the quickest Super. 3 minutes ever, dude.
It goes fast, man. We're already 40 minutes into the show, dude. We have like 20 minutes left. 19 minutes.
Hey,
Good
I wanted
call.
To, I'm using a new P-Popper mesh. It's a Sterling PF2 mesh microphone guard. And I was just at Guitar Center in Villa Park, Illinois, And I was just there last night purchasing this, and I want to thank them because I also purchased, I've got a really extensive record collection, LPs. I have approximately 800 LPs, and I have about 400 45s. And they're all pretty, there's some really cool stuff in there. I had to get, these crates, these, containers so that I can stack them, so I can store them, so I can display them, so I can travel with them if I wanted to. So, Jordan over at Guitar Center, really helped me out yesterday. So, and I just wanted
you
to thank
go,
them.
Jordan.
And yeah, I just wanted to thank them for Guitar Centers. They've helped me out a lot. I purchased my Focusrite processor from them. I purchased my M Audio monitors. I purchased my microphone, my Sterling microphone from them. So they're really cool. And they've helped me out a lot and given me a lot of rewards and stuff like that too. So a lot of rebates.
Nice. Well, let me jump off that.
Really
I got
appreciate
two things
it.
To jump off that for a second, if you don't mind.
No, go
one
ahead.
Thing, I'm taking my Left of Straight show to Palm Springs for a month's worth of live shows, for the month of June. So I'll be producing this show Monday through Friday from Palm Springs, California, the month of June.
Excellent.
And if you and Katie can get back to California, come down and do a live show out there. We found the coolest place last year. It's called the Hideaway Hotel, and it's in Palm Springs. It's only about a block and a half off the main drag, so you can walk to downtown where there's so many great shops and restaurants. The Hideaway Hotel, beautiful pool and jacuzzi, only 8 rooms, but every room, Craig, is decorated Art Deco. Every room has a record player and about 5 or 6 albums in it. It is
nice.
The coolest thing you've ever seen. So we'll have to get you and Katie down there. We'll see if the show can pick you up and get you down there, because it is amazing. And my only little funny story, just to go off that you reminded me of when you talk about a big record collection, there's actually a story today in the news that, let me pull it up here, that a crime boss in New York, the New York City police on Thursday were investigating the bold and fatal shooting of alleged Gambino crime boss Francesco Frankie Boy Cali outside
right.
of Staten Island home, which I don't really care about. But as a side note, when I used to come to Ohio when I was a kid, because I grew up in California, and my uncle and aunt lived here in Ohio, the first time
the mafia is live and well in the United States.
Exactly.
If the Gambinos
and
are still getting taken out.
Is known for it.
Wow.
Youngstown has been known as the mobbed up capital here in Ohio, and I'm just in the suburbs of Youngstown. And when I didn't realize at the time, but when I first came out here to visit my uncle, one of the times he had down in his basement this jukebox and the most amazing collection of 45s I've ever seen. And I said, where do you get those 45s from? He says, well, I'd tell you, but I have to kill you. I'll tell you what, come with me. And the next day we went to some house somewhere in Youngstown, Ohio, and I was able to pick out about 200 45s from this collection of thousands from what I'm sure now was a mobbed up guy in Youngstown. And I brought home 200 45 records back to California with me. So it just kind of reminded me of that when you said you had this big record collection. I at one time had about 200 mobbed up 45s that I brought back from beautiful downtown Youngstown here.
Do you still have them, dude?
I don't anymore. I've had
Why?
Two bad things happen. One, I lost my 45s. Two, I actually worked for Capitol Records for a year, and Capitol Records has a huge sell-off party twice a year where all the employees can go to the Capitol Records studio in Hollywood, and they fill up both sound studios downstairs full with Capitol, EMI, and Apple records that employees can buy for $1 apiece. I got the entire...
When did you work for Capitol Records?
Probably 84, 85, 85, 86.
I was out there.
The
I wrote about I wrote about the Capitol Records in 27 and all washed up. I went to an audition there for something, and I met, I can't even remember his name right now. The guy that the movie The Soloist is about. He was outside playing his cello, and this is before the movie, and this is before anybody knew who he is. I'll get his name real quick. And I walked outside and I started smoking a cigarette, and I saw him playing his cello across the street, and I walked across the street. He asked me to put my cigarette out. And so I did. And cause he does that to everybody that he sees smoking a cigarette, and they even say it in the movie. And I can't remember. He spelled his name just like he did in the movie to me. I can't remember.
If you have your Google machine, look it up. I'll give you a side story while you're looking it up real quick. But cool. Really funny. That was the worst decision I ever made in my life, leaving Capitol Records. I only worked there for a year. Like I said, it was the best company in the world to work for back then. We had twice a year, we had these album sales where I completed my entire Beatles collection of albums because they were on Apple Records there and EMI. They're not collectible because they have to put a hole in the corner of the things, not in the records themselves, but in the corner of the jackets for the full LPs. So, and my brother sold those when he stole them for drugs, unfortunately. But also, their Christmas
excellent.
Parties.
That's always a great choice. Sell
exactly.
your LPs for drugs. You need the LPs for when you're on the drugs because you want to listen
exactly.
to your LPs. So the LPs are not the thing to be selling. But anyway, sorry.
Exactly. But anyway, they're such a great company to work for. You'd get a CD with every paycheck, or it was actually an album because they didn't have too many CDs and they're just starting to do CDs. But at the time when I was working there, David Bowie was on the label. Tina Turner was on the label. All these amazing people were on the label. And then our Christmas party came, and the Christmas party was also in these two bottom studios of the Hollywood.
Nathaniel Ayers, by the way. Nathaniel Ayers was the cellist.
There you go. Very cool.
That was
Very
in
cool.
that was in the soloist. Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. The Christmas party, though, was in the basement there in the two recording studios. We had the Motels play our Christmas party, who was
nice.
On the label. And they gave away, like, trips to Europe, trips that you just got your paycheck thrown in the stub. And they gave away these amazing – everyone got a 15-pound
Wow, why did you quit working at Capitol Records, man?
I'm an idiot. I left for the YMCA of Anaheim,
At least you admit
the
it.
The YMCA of Anaheim. I left for. I'm
really?
The idiot on the planet. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, YMCA is a good group, but, you know, still, it's Capitol Records, man. I don't know if I would have left that gig. Yeah. Like I said, there's a whole bunch of jobs in the entertainment business. If you don't cut it as an actor or a singer or a performer in any way, there's a whole bunch of jobs. And Capitol Records, it's one of those. So, and Scott's
one
talking right now about
it.
How he misses that job.
Okay, one last story on it. I feel personally responsible, take it as good or take it as bad, for Katrina and the Waves, because one of my friends actually worked in the A&R department while I was working there, had me go scout Katrina and the Waves at a local bar in Santa Monica, and I said, yes, sign them. And we signed Katrina and the Waves on my say-so. So walking on sunshine, thank you very much. That was me. That's my claim to fame.
Wow, that was all Scott Fullerton.
So blame me or praise me, whichever way it works out in your mind.
Did they do anything else, or were they a one-hit wonder?
They had one other song, and I can't remember what it was. It was a girl's name, and I don't remember what it was. But those two were their biggest hits,
right.
And then it was pretty much just regular stuff. Not too much else besides those two hits.
A lot of musicians don't get this, that they can't rely on the record company. Even somebody like Capitol, you can't rely on them to do your next albums. You have to, as musicians, you have to write your own stuff and you have to record your own stuff.
And the whole system these days, albums are basically vanity projects to tell a story, because streaming and everything else has so eaten into an artist's money anymore, that unless you, like you said, write your own song, produce it, and put it out once a month instead of waiting for a year to 2 years for an album, you can't make any money in the business anymore. It's really tough for musical artists anymore. It's tough with these streaming Spotify's and things like that. It's tough for them. So,
yeah,
right.
Sorry. Companies like the Screen Actors Guild and also ASCAP, the Musicians Union, they are really trying to concentrate on royalties for, and specifically musicians. Because there's so many people that aren't getting paid for their work, and they need that money to survive, even if it's 19 cents in royalties, which I've received residual checks for lower than that. I don't know why you would send out, it costs more in the paper and the time to send out a check that's under, I don't even know why they send out $3 checks, but regardless, musicians need that money absolutely to survive. So those royalties are very important. And I'm not sure producers actually get that. I'm not sure producers actually care. I, as a producer, I've cared in the past for my artists. It's all about the artist. It's not about anything else. It's hardly ever with my projects about making money, sadly. For me and for Katie, sadly, that my projects tend to be, things that will probably take off after I'm dead. So, that's the way it usually goes. But for musicians that have already produced, already given a performance and are owed monies for said performance for their lifetimes, they really, really need that money. So it's really important that they figure this out and get the royalties to them. And it's also important that the listening audience doesn't continue to rip artists off. Just pay the art. Usually the artist is asking for what? Like on Altered State, I'm asking for $1. On Daylight Sucks, I'm asking for $2. I mean, come on. What can't you afford in that? Please. You guys just went to McDonald's and spent more on a Happy Meal than you would on my books combined. So, and that food's garbage, by the way. McDonald's as a sponsor.
Checks are just laughable. That's one of the reasons I left Capital, to be absolutely honest, is I didn't have one of the glamorous jobs. I worked in the data control where I cut all the checks for the royalties and residuals. And like I said, I saw some pretty nice looking zeros for Tina Turner and David Bowie. But I saw Kaja Cougar getting like couple of cents and a couple of dollars
that's really sad yep. that because those artists absolutely depend on that, absolutely depend right. on bigger checks. How do they eat? you can't expect them to just survive on nothing. And in the same and on the flip side of that, you can't expect them to be having a normal job too after right. they're already on the air or being broadcast. You can't expect that to be the case. So they can't be a waiter. They can't they can't do anything that's in the public eye. So besides perform. And so if you want them to perform again, and it is up to the artist to make their own records after all the deals are done. And if you want them to perform again, you have to support them and you have to pay them. So please stop streaming and stealing.
Right. And that's the reason why we have people like the Rolling Stones performing at 70 years old. They don't necessarily love performing. They do love their music, but these guys aren't making a damn penny off these songs that have been iconic for 30, 40 years. But that's why all these artists, you see all these aging artists still performing. It's a little bit of the love of music. Yes. But a lot of it, that's how they make their money, selling out these venues or trying to sell out these venues anymore, because these royalty deals have gone down to pennies a month that they're getting off of these iconic songs.
No, I think it's I do think that somebody like the Rolling Stones, they actually love making music and they love performing. These guys, you know, they're going to die on stage. And that's just the way they've lived their entire lives. Katie and I were at a Telemundo awards show, and we were in Miami. And we were walking through the back area backstage, but outside where all the buses were and where the motorhomes were and where they were being interviewed and just different stuff was going on backstage, as it always does. Areas where people aren't normally allowed to go. And we were walking around back there with a guide because they were trying to get us into the staging area. And Keith Richard walked out and he was off, dude. He was pissed off. And I'm like, I can imagine what's going on right now, because he was probably had that space for a rehearsal for his upcoming show. And then Telemundo rented the space and took it for their award ceremony. So he's not able to rehearse tonight. And he was just livid, dude. He's walking around pissed off and on his cell phone. And dude, it was amazing to me because he's like 70 something, right? And I'm like, this is a guy that still cares about his show, about his performances, about his schedule. He still cares. And he's pissed off when it doesn't go the way he needs it to go as a musician. And I was just, awesome. You know, it was really cool seeing him walk by and hearing what he was saying. So.
All right, dude, we have 3 minutes left. I can't believe it.
Wow.
Let's finish up.
What? Dude, these shows are flying by.
I know.
Anybody want to call 347-989-0126? 347-989-0126. But if you call at the end of the show, then you can't stand on the soapbox for very long, man. Or woman.
Exactly. For the last couple seconds, we knew the other shoe was going to drop, and it did today. We now have at least two Yale students suing Yale for devaluing their education because of this big education scandal now. But now we're getting the other side of it. I think it's kind of...
So you have actual students who are suing Yale because they didn't get the same benefit that William H. Macy's did?
They're saying that their school is not prestigious anymore because they let this happen, so their degrees from Yale are not going to be worth as much anymore.
This has been happening the whole time. I guarantee you there's a building in Yale that's named after somebody that gave a bunch of money to let their kid go there. I guarantee it.
You think?
That is hypocritical. That's hypocritical of that student. This has been going on for years. It's been going on since the creation of Yale. Been going on since the creation of Harvard.
It all is.
Yeah.
Jump on the money train. All right, dude. We got one more show left. Guys, we're having trouble giving away this free copy of this amazing book, Altered State of the Union.
We haven't really said the word of the day. Did I say douchebag today? Oh, there's an opportunity. I'm not sure I said the word douchebag.
I don't think so. They have 2 minutes. Come on.
So what?
Wrap it up for me, buddy. What do you want to say in our last 2 minutes? Oh, we lost Craig. Craig fell off. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and finish it up. We have 1 minute left. I'm going to play out with a little bit of another song from Pentatonix and Little Dolly Parton. This is Jolene. Guys, we appreciate you listening. Tune in tomorrow, Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific time. Actually, we'll go to little Damien Escobar. Guys, thanks for listening to Standing on My Soapbox. We'll be back tomorrow. For Craig and I, have a great afternoon.